Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter, and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Paddy and Steve. Pete is not here because he's just texting me now saying, do you still hold ESC? Do you know what? So you were supposed to come down this weekend, right? Steve, Paddy, you weren't doing anything. Paddy, you
know. I was going to come down yet tomorrow, maybe.
Oh, okay, well, but you know, we've been feeling rough as heck this week. That me and the kids and my wife, and so we just called it off, and we couldn't book in. We couldn't book into an escape room. That's what I wanted to do. You know, go around there, maybe record a bit, do that, and so they're all fully booked. And so, you know, so I said, let's call it off this week. Let's wait for the grand opening of the Basingstoke Escape Hunt Escape Rooms. And then we'll go there and we can film something, do that, you know? And then, so I thought we'd record the podcast as normal, 8 a.m. pretty much Saturday morning. And then last minute, Peter said, oh, I can't do it tomorrow, I'm going mountain biking. I'll speak next week. So, what are you talking about? She's going mountain biking. Why 8 a.m. in the morning? I said, the mountains are there all day, you know? They don't run away. They don't go pack up for the afternoon, do they? The mountains, they're always there.
You've got to go to the mountains early, Justin.
Yeah. Why?
I'd say, because it closes in the afternoon.
No, exactly. So, anyway, and Steve now is locked down. I told you, dirty, filthy Welsh people. What's happening there, Steve?
I think it's just the Welsh government being overcautious. I don't think it's as bad as they think it is.
Are you sure it's not the Welsh people not washing their hands? So you wash your hands like this now. So you get put a mask on, you know, stay away from people because you're very
close.
What
are you not allowed to do, Steve? Are you allowed out of the house?
As far as I can see, it's not really going to affect me because I think it's just, like, you can still go out and do your exercise and do all that kind of thing, you know. I can still travel for work, but that's about it, really. Yeah, you're not really supposed to go out for socials or see anyone, which I find with that.
Trouble like is, pubs see, and restaurants are shut now.
Yeah, trouble is, see, the Welsh, see, like a kutch, don't they? You know, have a nice kutch. You can't do that anymore. Kutching, Steve. You go out in the park, kutching strangers.
The ironic thing is that probably the areas where the problem is probably ignore this anyway, so it's just a bit ridiculous, but, you know, I get it.
I think everyone's going to ignore it now, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, exactly. Do you know what? What they don't say, just give some simple rules. They change them every week. It's like Boris's mind. It just changes every week, you know? It's like you'll have another kid 1 week, then he won't bother with it or whatever. You know, but that's the trouble. Just have, everyone knows, listen, if you are stand within 2 meters of someone, you know, the closer you get, the more likely you are to pass it on. That's what it is. The probability, isn't it? If you're touching stuff, there are lots of people touching, and you're not washing your hands, and you're touching your face, you're more likely to get it, you know? So put these things in place, wash your hands, stay away from people, and maybe wear a mask if you're in a crowded area, and that's as simple as that. And don't mix with too many people. That thing about mixing, you know, the English version, you know, of mixing six people, you can mix six different people every hour, pretty much. That's not going to do anything, is it? That's going to spread the virus. That's common sense.
Well, closing the pubs at 10 as well, I mean, that is absolutely crazy.
I know.
Last night,
exactly.
And Friday night, yeah, and, yeah. They, and Thursday night, and they everyone leaves at the same time. The bouncers are on your case, like you are kicked out. There's no like drinking up time. You're kicked out onto the street all at the same time. And I cannot for the life of me understand what difference it makes being kicked out at 10 or 11.
Well, it doesn't, because everyone at 10 o'clock then just goes back to like and has a house party, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, great, just what you want.
Is that what you do, Steve? Yeah, house party, guys, come to my place. House party for Kutch. Yeah.
Have they explained at any point why that's a rule? That doesn't seem to make any sense.
Well, exactly. And as I said earlier, and not only that, it's just this. What I understand is, I understand there's more support now, but the industries have really been hit hard. Don't get any support from this. Like nightclubs, for example. They don't get any support, so you have to be able to employ people for a third of the time. Nightclubs are not allowed to open. How is that going to help them? Or theatres, whatever. You know, how is that going to help them? I don't understand. It just doesn't make any sense. Like I said, you can still... it doesn't matter how long a restaurant's open, right? If you are sitting down at your own table and you're socially distanced spread and it's clean and all that stuff, it's fine, isn't it? Doesn't matter what you're doing. So as long as you be a bit sensible. It's just nuts. I do think what they're doing at the moment... it's the fear factor. They want to get the virus down again. They're just trying to spread a bit of fear. Like that guy that came out, the Valance, I don't know which one he is, chief scientific or chief medical, which one they are, but it's Witty and Valance, isn't it? And he said, if it rises exponentially, we'll have 50,000 cases. But it's not rising exponentially. I mean, it's doubling every week. But if you look at Spain and France, it hasn't done that. Because what happens is you start to, you know, realise it's getting a bit more dangerous and you start to sort of adjust your behaviour and it doesn't happen. And anyway, do you know what? We will have a vaccine. What do you think about this? You know, all the COVID testing stocks, I was thinking about this, all the COVID testing stocks have gone mad and people done quite well off. I think they're going to collapse and before the end of this year, because we are now, and I've been watching CNBC, you should watch this every afternoon, Meg Terrell, she's a very lovely lady, and she's a reporter, and she chats to the guys in charge of Operation Warp Speed. That's what they call it in America. America's nuts, aren't they? Operation Warp Speed, to get these, you know, this phase, clinical phase 3 trials to a vaccine. So there's 9 big companies, pretty much, you know, at the head of this vaccine race. The Pfizer is pretty much going to complete them first. They're going to have... readouts on phase 3 trials end of October, okay? And this guy who's Monsif Saraf, his name is, he's in charge of Operation Warp Speed, the government there, and he's saying essentially they'll have a vaccine pretty much ready to go. They've got the vaccines already to go, they're all there, they're just testing them, you know, so they know they're pretty much, they've gone through
phase, they've made them already,
yeah, they've made them already, and they're ready to distribute them. So but they've gone through phase 1, phase 2, so they're pretty much there. They're getting good efficacy and safety feedback on phase 3 already. They sort of know, but they'll have the final readout, Pfizer will, in October. He said the vulnerable population in America, and pretty much, you know, the government over here has done deals with AstraZeneca as well, so it's pretty much the same setup. They'll have vulnerable people vaccinated before Christmas. The rest of the population we've done in February, March, April. Done. All done. That's it. COVID will be done within 6 months. So the stocks that have bombed out, you know, will rise quickly. Stocks that have risen quickly, like the COVID testing stocks, I think will collapse. Because this one, let's be honest, once there is a vaccine out there and it's widely distributed, why do you need testing? Or am I being vulnerable thinking that? Being silly thinking that? Or naive? Or do we don't need testing as a vaccine there, do we?
I can't imagine it just disappearing in April, even with the vaccine. I think there'll still be a remnants of it.
But the thing is, Steve, all you have to protect, it's not going to affect you, me, you know, us strong, muscular, healthy people. It's not going to affect us too much, you know? So it's only going to affect the vulnerable people. So once you have vaccinated that strata of society that are going to be affected by it, and that's basically done by December, January, the rest of us can go about that. We can pick it up and, you know, pass it on. Fine. It doesn't matter. We'll breed a sort of a temporary immunity to it until next season, you know, and then we have to probably have vaccinated by it again. But like I said, all we need to do is protect that, you know, vulnerable strata of society. And it's fine, isn't it? We can go back to normal working because they're the ones...
There was also some really interesting stuff this week. I couldn't tell whether it was propaganda or not, but there was two studies that come out. One that says that wearing a mask... they can prove now that it lowers the viral load that you get. So if you do get it, you get a worse version, a lesser version of it, you still build up the antibodies. And then that one about vitamin D was also interesting as well, which again says that if you have a higher level of vitamin D in your blood, then that's going to help you get over it and have a lesser version of the illness. So it could be that actually, even though we have a vaccine, with those things in place, people are almost getting a sort of vaccine by proxy anyway. And together, those two mean that the whole population becomes immune quite quickly.
Yeah. Can you imagine the day? We'll imagine the day. It's going to be... listen, I know these companies, right, they are going through... And people are saying they're worried about it. They're rushing these through and it not being safe. They will be safe, because have you seen the trials they're doing? They're doing trials on, like, 40,000 people. That's phenomenal. You know, sometimes you get phase three trials on several thousand people. Sometimes, you know, 5,000 to 8,000, maybe 10,000 maximum. But not these companies doing 60,000 people. So the fact that it's going to be quite... And they're saying, is in fact, Meg Terrell is a lady you want to follow on CNBC. She chats to all these guys. And there's a great study here. But look at this. I'll bring it up. So Pfizer, the sample size, 44,000. Moderna, sample size, 30,000. AstraZeneca, 30,000. And that's getting vaccines. And that's Johnson & Johnson, 60,000. That's a phenomenal amount. So
these are quite robust numbers, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. And they're saying that the testing, they're hitting around, the efficacy levels are around about 60-70%. They're aiming for that level, so that means it'll be effective on, you know, 60-70% of the population, which is very good. And they'll get better at that as well, because they're erring on the side of caution, because obviously the safer it is, the less effective it is, essentially. But so they have to up the dose pretty much, but for the first lot they'll err on the side of caution, and so it'll be less effective. But I just think, but no, these stocks, the COVID stocks, that have rallied like crazy though because of testing, surely they'll just slump, won't they? And conversely, the stocks that have been hammered, like the airlines, can you imagine the day that Pfizer, I think it's going to be the first one, comes out and says, we have a vaccine? I think the stock market will go nuts. The fact that we've got, you know, light at the end of the tunnel here, and then there's going to be followed by sort of eight other companies saying the same kind of thing, or maybe not all of them be as successful. But I just think the stock market will rally like crazy, won't it?
Yeah, and you would imagine the stocks which have played the COVID line and really talked up their business in that area will do the opposite.
Yeah,
because the demand for that suddenly disappears.
So what I'm saying now is you've got to worry about debt. But if you want to see a big upside, the travel stocks, like TUI, for example, or EasyJet, and also Carnival Cruises, all those kind of stocks, or even Cineworld, where the big loads of people have to go, you know, public, or restaurants, they'll rally like crazy. So if you, I think it'll flip completely, you know, flip completely. You're right, the COVID stocks will go down, the testing stocks, and all of a sudden, the other stocks will go up. That's why, do you know, at the moment, you know, people say, we worry about the dip, and I've often thought about this. When you buy a company and you've done your research and you know it's a decent company and you know they're going somewhere and they have a plan, you know, then you've got to ask yourself suddenly, when the share price goes down, how much of a good business can I afford to own? And that's what it's all about, isn't it? And if you think in those terms, you wouldn't be worried about the share price dipping, because you realise you can buy more of that company at a cheaper level. And then when the company goes back up, you know, it'd be worth a lot more. Of course, you know, a good business is sometimes...
It's just the uncertainty at the moment, though, isn't it? It's just not knowing when the end is.
Well, no, hang on. But if you look at the guy from Operation Warp Speed...
Warp!
Then, I know, that's ridiculous, Americans, aren't they? I mean, he's a guy here who's head of... He was, you know, at the top of the game at GlaxoSmithKline. He was at the top of the... I think it was another company as well, Moderna or something. One of the big farms. So he knows, you know, he's been put in this position because he's well-known in the industry. But like Clive Dix, you know, in the UK. He's been, you know, but this guy's even higher than that. But so when he was saying this, he's not lying. You know, he does genuinely believe there'll be a vaccine or the test results from Pfizer will be out at the end of October. So we see a light at the end of the tunnel. We know that. I know it's uncertainty, but, you know, he's monitoring the tests every day, and, you know, he's having feedback from the companies every day, and that's what he thinks. So I just think now you position yourself. For example, you know, did you see... Someone did say, I'm ramping Escape Hunt. And yeah, the reason why...
You, yeah, maybe.
Are you in... Bit. Boys, do you want, how many shares of Escape Hunt do you own? Steve?
Zero.
Zero.
Come on, you liars. You've bought some, but you're not telling. I had this thought this week, right? I said, you, Pete, and Paddy have all bought shares, but you're not telling me. And you said, we bought some. Are you really not bought any?
No, the spread's ridiculous. Like, if you buy now, you'd be 25% down just on the same day.
No, you're not. The spread's not that bad. Listen, Listen, have you seen the quality compared to everyone else, what they're about? The fact that they're hooking up the BBC, the Netflix, you know, they've got... They're now going, which I really like, a digital offering. So they're going to have sort of almost like a Pokemon digital offering, games where you can play, and they're doing stuff with brands. What's it called? Escape Hunt for Business. Escape Hunt for Brands. They can brand up sort of, you know, for hundreds of people remotely in different locations can play these. And that, to me, the digital side is the blue sky opportunity, because they can scale. Digitally, you can scale very quickly. It's not capital intensive too much, you know.
So that's people escaping from a Zoom call.
Yeah, pretty much, I think. but cool. But they're going to. I don't know if you saw that. They said their update there, and of course they started when they opened back up in July. They said, so they've got 10 rooms now. Okay, the 10th one was Norwich. Yeah, Norwich. Yeah.
And it's going to be big in Norwich, isn't
it? Yes,
massive. There's not much to do there.
No, exactly. And most people want to escape from Norwich, so it's very good. So they can virtually do that. And then they've got the 10th one already now, Basingstoke. We'll be going there, guys. Yeah, let's all go to Basingstoke. I sent an email to Graham Bird, CFO. He very impressed me on the podcast. He said, yeah, we'll get something sorted there. We're happy there. So we'll go along, Steve. What can we do there? Can we film or can we podcast? What should we do?
I might not be allowed to go there this week.
Ignore that, Steve. Dominic Cummings broke the law. You can, right?
There's tanks on the bridge. You won't be able to get past.
Yeah. No, but seriously.
That sort of gives the whole thing away, doesn't it? That's the point of an escape room. You don't tell other people how to escape from it.
Well, we could film beforehand and maybe film a little bit, not too much, and then a bit afterwards and see how we did, because you've got 60 minutes and they give you clues as well. So they have leaderboards, you know, so you've got to see how fast you get out, how many clues do you get, you know.
I can't see how that would be interesting for people to watch.
What are you talking about? It's going, I don't know who you went with last time, Steve. You must have gone on your own, must you? Or with someone who's, you know, an old lady who's deaf, dumb and blind. But
No, I'm being serious. Like, who's going to want to watch us trying to escape from escape rooms?
Someone actually emailed me that. They said it'd be hilarious.
I do some pretty dull corporate videos for my work.
Steve, we've got some great personalities involved. Bring your personality along, yeah? That's all it's about, characters. It's not about... you can film an empty room and make it entertaining. You've got people who are making a good laugh. It'd be good laughs, you having a bit of banter. Someone actually emailed me and said, it'd be excellent to see you guys in an escape room having a laugh. Why don't you do a podcast there or film it or something? Someone suggested it. Someone emailed me.
Was it the boss of Escape Hunt?
No, it wasn't. It was no one to do with Escape Hunt. But anyway, I don't know if you saw, when they opened back up, they said initially they opened only from Thursday to Sundays. Then they went from Wednesday to Sundays, and they were at 72% of their previous levels, which is good, the higher levels. And then you got the stage where they said there were the growth on EBITDA positive levels, at site level, positive level of EBITDA, so earnings, which was approximately 33% higher than site level EBITDA in the equivalent 6-week period in 2019. So doing very well. And as you know, I tried to book some, for you, when you come down, I couldn't book them, they're booked out. So because of all the leisure activities you can do, like bowling or whatever you can go, it's not a big crowd, is it? It's not a big space, a massive room with hundreds of people. It's just six of you going in every session, so it's well suited. But listen, it's cheap at the moment. That's what I think. I think once this will be one of the companies that will benefit. Once Pfizer come out and say, guys, we've got a vaccine, and the stock markets go nuts, this will be one of the companies that benefit, because it's seen at the moment. The share price is down here, valued at just over 6 million, 4 million in cash. It's down here because people believe, you know, the restrictions are having a sort of horrible effect on them, a sort of adverse effect on the financials. And they're not so much. They're doing okay. The results are out next week on Tuesday. But I just genuinely think it will be a market leader when all the little crappy ones with low quality have gone by the wayside. They'll be a market leader.
I found one in Croydon.
Oh, did you?
It's in one of the, like, it's this really depressing old shopping centre that nothing's in, and they're in there.
Yeah. Well, those ones, right? Why would you go to, like, I'm just comparing this to, like, an independent cinema with this rubbish, with small seats, rubbish, with no rubbish, you know, nonsense films on, compared to, like, a proper, you know, 3D or big cinema seats where you can recline the seats, like in Southampton, you can recline the seats. They're massive armchair seats with all the latest, sort of films to watch, the biggest hits. Or on a bowling alley side, why would you go to an independent bowling alley with one alley out there and sort of dodgy old smells in there, or a proper bowling alley? You know, it's a difference. So once you've got high quality offering, but plus they're doing the, you know, the remote format play, the print and play stuff as well. So they're doing it for, you know, corporates and all that stuff. It's a different offering. This will be a market leader. They wouldn't. It's not a market that you can buy in the market at this price. And you've got to look down the line a year from now. If you look for a year from now, they're not going to be priced at this level. I pretty much guarantee that. And that's why I'm over the top with this guy, so you're ramping it. No, I see potential here. I really do. I see this as pretty much, this time next year, an easy triple your money. Probably five times your money, probably, this time next year. That's why I'm saying it. They've already got 10 up and running. Basingstoke's at 11. They've signed for Cheltenham 12. They've got signed for a further two sites already. Advanced legal discussions on two further sites. That's 14. They'll be at 20 sites by this time next year, and they're going to carry on going. And every site they open, it gets more efficient. The company, because they earn more EBITDA, and more drop into the bottom line. So I just think, guys, there's an opportunity here. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying.
Should we talk about some of the other guaranteed five baggers?
Yeah. What do you want to talk about?
Salt Lake Potash.
Yes.
What's going on there? That's gone down this week, though.
Again, yes. Yeah, of course, we've had a market sell-off. You know, it's been a big sell-off this week. The tech stocks in America falling over, rolling over. There's worry, there's lack of stimulus, and there's a second wave of COVID happening, of course. And so you'll have this. But this is why it's always good to keep a bit of cash, and so it'll roll out, it'll come down. But of course, but people will see this; it gets cheaper. Essentially, what we at now on Solid is under 150 million market cap. So the first project alone will be a double, more than a double on there. And then they got three lakes up to 1,000 or 1 million tons producing in the next 3 to 5 years. That's five times the current valuation, at least. But of course,
but when do they actually start doing that? When is that?
Less than 6 months.
Guaranteed 100 million going to actually start to kick in.
Mm. Sorry, I'm drinking. No, they will start generating cash in quarter one next year. I think it's the back end of quarter one, so March time they start producing, generating cash. They got offtake agreements, of course, straight away. They'll be. Of course, when you start gearing up with that, when you have a plant, for example, you start ramping up the production. You don't go to full tilt straight away. So, but they will be cash flow positive by June. That's when they start generating real value. But the anticipation of that, I can't see the share price, you know, diving down too longer. Time is counting down. You know, 6 months left. Before you know it, it'll be Christmas time. Like I said, 3 months of Christmas yesterday, and then it'll be another 3 months. They'll be, you know, producing. And, I think the impending thought that's approaching, you know, the cash flow, because that's real value generation, isn't it? You could say potential to generate value. That is real. When you start generating cash and it's going to the bottom line, your assets swell. That's real value generation, and that's when share price re-rates, and so it will re-rate. In fact, I was talking to Tony. I said, what do you think about the share price? He said, yeah, I've talked to a lot of people about this, and they said, you know, when the share price will start really motoring, when this will happen, when the BFS is out. But he said, what I think is it'll start really motoring when we get towards start producing, because that's when you're making money, you know? You are making a good margin, and you're making money.
So I've got a little bit of cash now because I sold, what was it, Clearstar we sold this week?
Yeah, Clearstar was, we dumped that, yeah, because there's a
takeover. That's gone. So do I put my little bit of cash into Salt Lake Potash and get a bit more of that? Or do I put my little bit of cash into a wacky escape room?
I would wait for the results if I were you. There may be a dip in the results. I don't know how... I mean, they seem quite bullish, but listen, the sales levels are, of course, are not at the height they were this time last. Oh, in fact, they've got a few more escape rooms, but of course, they've been shut for 3 months, so they can't. It can't be a blowout, can it? The figures can't blow you out and play wow, because they've been shut for 3 months. So, I don't know how the market will react to that. So, if it dips, I'm buying more. You know, I just think I'm looking a year down the line here, and I'm thinking if they dip now, I'm going to buy more. So it's up to you. I'd wait till Tuesday. It may rally, though. It's up to you. You could put a little bit in now. If it dips, you could buy some more. Or, you know, if it doesn't dip, you could rise. It's up to you. But share price always dips.
I'm going to wait for the results. I'm going to have a look.
Yeah. But again,
I'm not fully sold on this, as I may have mentioned, but I'll have a look.
Yeah, but they don't need a, you know, they don't need to be jam packed every hour of every day. They do well. It's amazing how.
I just find them so depressing.
they're quite exciting. But apparently, is something wrong with you though? It's not depressing. It's exciting.
Really depressing places. I don't
like find,
them.
You find everything depressing. What do you actually like?
Have you ever been to Madame Tussauds?
This is getting deep.
Madame Tussauds. Listen, I would not. I can't believe
the bleakest thing on earth.
I know. I've never been there. Do you know what? I used to drive past that sometimes when I was in London and see the queue of like Japanese people. I thought, hang on, there's Japanese people in there to go and see a wax of Terry Wogan or something. They don't know who Terry Wogan is. It's like, if the real film stars are actually standing inside there, I still wouldn't queue to go and see them, would you? What's the
point? Some of them are hit and miss. Some of them you think, yeah, okay, fair enough, that looks like Tom Cruise. And then you've got some geezer next to him, and yeah, no idea.
I prefer the ones, the rip off ones. You've seen those ones like Ipswich or somewhere.
Ipswich. In one of those.
Yeah, yeah. That's more hilarious. We go round, and there's one of Princess Diana, and she's got a big nose and her hair is different colour and all that stuff.
11 fingers.
Yeah, 11 fingers.
It's almost the ex-spitted image models or something.
Yeah, but they are more of a laugh. I mean, the ones that are trying to be serious. What's the point of going to see waxwork models of famous... What's the point of that? What is the point of that? I don't understand that, do you? Honestly, if they were
the
real...
The money that police must make, though, because it's like 40 quid to get in. It's so
But exactly. What? Do you understand what... But when you get... People will pay for any old trash, don't they? You know? It's like, if you go to Covent Garden, if you're a tourist or some of that, you go to Covent Garden, right? You get guys, who, you know, just playing cards, and people just you know, form a queue or, you know, an audience around him, and just because they want to do something. They just want to do something. They're so bored walking around the city. What are we going to do? Just want to be entertained. Entertain me. And that's all they do. So they go and watch these wax effigies of famous people. Most of them, the Japanese tourists, don't even know who they are. There's a, you know, waxwork model, like, say, Terry Wogan or whatever.
Yes.
Bruce Forsyth.
No, you're probably right. People have dull lives, don't they? Suddenly, because I've got so much in my life that this stuff doesn't seem to be, make any sense to me.
Hang on. All you do is literally, do yoga classes, or, you know, when you're in your gym slip and all that stuff. In the 80s, let's get physical. That's what you do, isn't it, pretty much?
Yeah, but I do a lot of it.
If that's what he enjoys doing, that's what he enjoys doing. Each their own, isn't it?
I found my thing, so I just do it.
Okay. Well, all I'm saying is, listen, I think Solid Potash is a good run. In fact, what's the share price on that? Because it's bending down. I think once it starts to come round, once the momentum comes back into it.
25p.
Because what people do is obviously people start selling because it starts dipping a bit. They start panicking. But, you know, what you should be doing is buying more, really. But then it gets to the stage where people say, wow, that's a bargain. And then the bargain hunters start coming in and start buying it more. And then all of a sudden, the people who sold out when it was dipping, they're, oh, I've got to get back in now. And so they'll be selling it to, you know, say, 28 pence, buying back in at like 23 pence, you know? And then.
What I just really would like one day, though, is for some of these things to actually come off. Because
it will. Every time my
portfolio gets to a level where it's sort of a break even, it then drops down again by 10%.
Yeah, but that's the market. It's like a tide.
I've never been above plus 1% since I started this endeavor.
Well, you will do. So, listen. The stock market is like a tide. It goes in, it comes out, right? And it almost like a tide is coming in. If you hold the right stocks, okay, it won't go straight up. Of course, it does. Like a chart, it goes up, goes down a little bit, up, down a little bit. But each peak gets higher and higher. So if you've got the right stocks, not, you know, pop and drop stocks that never generate any value, we are talking about companies now that are start making money. That is real value. That is sustainable. Salt Lake Potash will be turning over 60 million of earnings per year, you know, from one lake, 60 million. So basically, they're now valued on 2.2 of that. That's nothing, you know. They should be valued at seven times that, really. So you're doing, you know, so seven. So it should be pretty much in excess of 350-400 million pounds valuation when they start churning out this. On one lake. That's one lake. And that's and then you can times that. That if you get three lakes up, it basically that EBITDA times it by four. That's 240 million a year. That is bigger than their valuation right now. You put that on a sort of what. Was 10 times that. It's 2.4 billion, half that, pretty much, say five times, 1.2 billion on five legs. That's the valuation, 1.2 billion. And right now, they're 140 million, 148 million. So, yeah, it'll happen. They're going to do it. The plan's there. They've got this far. It's like all these exploration companies on AIM. You can earn a bit of money if you want when it goes up, you know, but it'll drop because you're not something like under 3% of exploration companies actually get to produce anything. They never even get that far. So you've got to pick a company that's going to go the distance, and these guys are. They're going to build an industry right there. So Salt Lake Potash is going to get there. Again, you know, the market has come off again today. It's like, did you see Polarian? It hit an all-time high, but it's come back. But now, if you sell every time it starts coming back, you miss the next high. Because let's be honest, it's going a lot higher. This I genuinely think it's one of those things that it's going to get bought out. It's happening. FDA approval has happened. And we know now, the market was big anyway. You know, in America, they spent $150 billion on pulmonary disease. And now with COVID, that has just gone a lot bigger. Because the people who are getting affected by COVID, it's affecting their lungs. And already there's in Canada, there's a medical center. It's got a grant of $800,000 to use Polarian's tech to look at the effects, lasting effects of COVID on lungs. So that's going to be massive. Because of COVID, you know, Polarian's tech is worth a lot more. And it's a bigger market. And so that will, look at the chart and player in it. It's come back a little bit. Those are the kind of stocks you think, okay, you know what's going to happen. On the dips, you buy them on the dips because it's going to do very well. It's going to be, you know. So the last tech they had, that was Chairman's tech, sold for pretty much 9 times where we are at the moment. Oh, no, a bit less than that now. About 6 times where we are at the moment. And that wasn't as big commercially. So he knows what he's doing. And the company that bought that, of course, are now a shareholder of Polarian. So we know where that's going. What else? Anything else there? Do you know what? C4XD has rallied a little bit, hasn't it? But I just genuinely think... Yeah, well, it did rally towards the end of yesterday. But, again, it's just patience, isn't it? We know there's a milestone coming up. Big one. 1st of December, the phase one trials of that drug. That's, you know, what was the company went in Indivior.
Indivior.
They can have results from the phase one trials there. That is a major milestone. If there's success on phase one, which generally phase one is not the hardest part. You know, it's phase three is the trickiest part. I think it's got a 50. Is it about 50% chance? A 50% chance of success? I think it's more than that on phase one. But then, so they'll get a big
share. What's the time scale to get to phase three then, if they're just about to do phase one?
No, it's a normal phase one, phase three, to take 3 to 5 years. And that's why COVID is, we're doing it in 1 year. That's why they're looking for a vaccine to go with a phenomenal amount of speed. But 3 to 5 years, between phase one and, in fact, taking a drug from preclinical, which is clinical, is a phase one, two, and three. But preclinical, we pre-test. That's what C4XD did. They make sure they've got the, it looks good in the profile looks good before preclinical. And then that's why Indivior came in, looked at the data, and said, okay, we're going to give you $10 million up front and a further $284 million of milestone payments. If it gets through, I think, to commercialisation.
So those milestone payments, are they in tranches over the period?
Exactly. They've never said how they've broken down. So I'm assuming that's with royalty payments as well. So you've got, you'd have milestone payments and royalty payments. So milestone will be, for example, they complete phase one, they get a payment, which will help them, but that will boost them, you know. And then you realise not only will they get a boost from the money, but they've got a drug there that's gone through phase one and it's on to phase two. So then they get another payment phase two, I assume, then phase three, then it goes to FDA approval, and then they will get payments there. And once it becomes commercial and they sell that drug, you know, in the open market, it'll become payments to that. So, yeah, but of course, in the meantime, Clive has been saying for how long now? They're close on a deal on another of their programs. But, I mean, who knows? It could be there before Christmas, could be after Christmas, who knows? But there's lots in the pipeline there.
So you're still holding that, yeah?
Yeah, I'm holding it. I'm going to hold it till December. I mean, you know...
You sold it.
But it depends on what time scale. I sold it years ago, yeah. 2 years ago I sold it because it started drifting. But then I just recently bought back in. Steve, you're on a different time zone to everyone else.
I thought you sold... Sorry, maybe I'm thinking something else that you sold.
Cool.
C4XD, that is. Yeah, no, tickers, Steve. Because you get your tickers mixed up, so you get your knickers and the tickers. Tickers and the knickers.
Gfinity dropped back a bit, didn't it? And then slowly came back.
Yeah, again, do you know what? A lot of stocks, you see, tech stocks, like I said, I don't know why. What's nuts is, the second wave of COVID, what people understand is, esports, the trend of esports has been accelerated. There's certain stock, you know, certain trends have been accelerated. Like online shopping has been accelerated because of COVID. Esports and gaming has gone through the roof. The spend on it, the people taking part, due to the lockdown. If we have another lockdown, again, you know, Gfinity won't get affected by that. If anything, it'll be positive for them. So I don't understand what the thoughts are and why it's all off. They're just people taking profit, I think, of course. But, yeah, it's, you know, like I say, if you look at if you just do a Google search on esports and set up an alert, you can see how many big brands are getting into esports every day. It's happening. You know, it's going ahead. And, like, their spend is going up on their ads is going up as well on their media side of the business. So I don't understand. Just one of the things, and the market's selling off. And so, you know, some stocks fall with the market. You know, that's the way it is.
It's really annoying.
Yeah, but that's why, you know, do you know what? Honestly, a good stock, if you hold a good stock, and I'm trying to do this now, I've got, how many stocks have I got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So I've got that, Symphony Environmental, do you see that there? Do you read the news from those? Steve does, I expect, but they've got...
I missed the news. What was the news?
They've got bags, right, plastic bags that not only biodegrade, but they are antimicrobial. And a Brazilian... chain of supermarkets have now started using their bags. I just think it's a matter of time. They're also testing these. But I watched their presentation recently.
Oh, is this the rice people?
No, rice. What do you mean?
Do they put the? Is this where they put food in?
Yeah, no, they're bread packaging. Yeah, they got FDA bread, approval on the bread packaging. Bread. Yes. But they're saying they could do everything. Basically, in future. Listen, this is not the first. But it's not the last of pandemics we're going to have. You know, it's going to be, as one happens, if you look at Mars, MERS, SARS, then coronavirus, and Ebola, and all that stuff. We get these things every 5 years, pretty much. You know, and obviously this one has been quite bad, but now we know it's not that bad, really. But when it first started, we did. So they realise that Symphony Environmental, why do you just put antimicrobial stuff into everything? And literally, they liken it. Like, for example, if you're a plastic bag maker, right, and your plastic bags don't decompose, which most of them don't, of course, all you need to do with Symphony Environmental is like putting a spoonful of sugar in a cup of tea. That's all they when you're making the bags, you put a spoonful of their 1% of their compound, their chemical, in the plastic bag making. It's not very expensive, and it will degrade within 3 to 5 years, that bag will. Just it'll be broken down to biomass, carbon... I think carbon dioxide and oxygen.
Well, it makes regular plastic break down.
Yeah, yeah. And so they realise you can't just ban plastic. It's too useful, you know, and it's in the supply chain. It's, you know, people spend billions a year on plastic and plastic packaging. You can't just ban it. It'll take too long. It'll take like 20, 30 years. In the meantime, why not have plastic that breaks down? And then it won't get a problem anyway. And so they've been pushing against, for years, they've been pushing this technology. They're now seemingly getting some traction, you know. But they can combine antimicrobial packaging that breaks down. So not only will it you know, kill viruses, 99.9% of viruses will kill, but it'll break down as well. I think that's amazing tech, don't you?
It's pretty clever.
It's almost a little bit too good to be true, but it's not, though, is it?
No, well, exactly.
It doesn't leave behind any, like, bad chemicals.
No, it's what's it called? It's basically, no, it breaks down into biomass... so like oxygen and carbon dioxide. No, carbon dioxide, that's a bad thing, but it's like two bits it breaks down to the bags, basically biomass, which is edible by animals, little plankton, all that stuff is tiny, breaks down into tiny, you know, microscopic bits of biomass and a bit of a gas, that's all, and the gas is not harmful, so it works. So
it's actually pretty well then.
Yeah, well, it did. You know, I bought it. I had the guy on the podcast, right, the CFO, had the guy on the podcast, and I told you about it. He said, oh, what's happening? I said, guys, I just bought this because I got IP. I like companies with IP, of course. It's protected. I like guys. I said, it's worth looking at this. I said, they've got news coming out in September because they're doing trials because they've got FDA approval on this packaging in America. So that's for their tech only, no one else's. And so they're now doing independent tests with these bread manufacturers now, and so they're just testing them to make sure they all work and all that stuff, and it's looking positive, but it's taken longer than they thought. I when I interviewed the guy, when was it, I think in late August, something like that, I said, listen, they got these tests coming out probably in September, turns out it's delayed. I said, but if I were you, I'd take a position. None of you did, of course. And next day, or 2 days after I said that, they came out with positive coronavirus test results on their packaging and stuff. And it cut, they found the virus reduction, it reduced by 99.84% within 24 hours. And that the share price shot up by 60%, something ridiculous. But I still held on, I didn't sell any. But yes, they went from like something like 20 million market cap to, or 25 to like almost, in one day, we're 100%, but come back down. But now they're 50 million market cap. But they're not losing money. They're making last interim results. So the first time they sort of made a profit, and it's going that way. More companies are using their tech, and they're generally getting more traction. So, but I think there's still lots to go, and that's come back a little bit. But it's definitely worth looking at. I love that tech. I think it's amazing. I think, you know. In fact, they've gone back. There's certain companies, they try to ban single-use plastic. I think the EU, now they've rolled back that law because they realise it can't be done. It's not viable. It's not practicable. All they need to do is find a workaway around. The workaround, essentially, is, you know, having it biodegrade, isn't it? And break it down. Break it down! Got the city on lockdown! There we are. Steve's in lockdown. Do you know that? City lockdown. It's different. It's not really lockdown, is it? Now, you can walk around the city, Steve, can't you? You want to. But it used to be house lockdown. Now it's just city lockdown. So you've got a lot bigger space to walk around in, haven't you, essentially?
Yeah, as I said earlier, I don't really see how it's going to affect me because I don't think I was mingling and I'm not the problem, I don't think, so.
You're not the problem, Steve. You're part of the solution, Steve. Steve is part of the solution. Steve, Megan did worry about you. She was worried about you because you live on your own. So is he not allowed out to mingle? I said, I think he's allowed to mingle. He can walk around Cardiff if he wants. It's quite a big area, lockdown area, isn't it? I mean, you can't go over the Cardiff border. Is that right?
We got through the last one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that right, Steve? Steve, can you go to the border? We can't go over the border. Is that right?
You know, I've not actually. I didn't think about it. I thought it was the same as before. Like, you're not supposed to leave the house unless it's for essential travel. But maybe it is that.
No, it is. You just basically can't. It's a regional lockdown. So it's like my parents. You know, in the Borough of Philly, and that was locked down first. You can't leave the Borough of Philly for good reason. And so you've got to keep the dirty, you know, people inside the borough. Like you now, all the Cardiffians, you know, you've got to keep you inside Cardiff because you are...
How are they policing that? How are there people at the border?
Exactly. I've no idea how they're going to do that. It's just ridiculous. Another ridiculous thing that they're doing.
They're talking about this in London. So, like, North London is a lot worse than South London. And... So they're saying that some boroughs might be locked down individually, which is, when you think about travelling through London, it's just crackers. Because obviously to get to places, you have to travel through boroughs.
Yeah. I think they did say
it's fine to travel through one of the lockdown cities, you're just not allowed to stop.
Oh, yeah, right. You travel through it. So I think what it is it's more sentiment, isn't it? It's more they're trying to say, listen, it's spreading, we've got a problem, we've got to try and stop the spread. And so that's why they bring a bit of fear into you again. And I always remember, but you know what? Fair play. I was talking to Cahill a long while back, and he was saying, and he said this a couple of times, and he said to me, what they do when you see a virus, you don't know how dangerous it is. Essentially, you have to put the fear of God into people to stay in the house. Unless you're in a country like China, we can just go up with guns and say, get in or we'll kill you. And then they listen to you that way. But otherwise, you use social media, use media, mainstream media, to scare the living heebie-jeebies out of people. Say, oh it's going to die, it's in the air. You know, if you go outside, you're going to die. And so they do that. So what they're doing now is ramping that up again, a bit of fear again, to get people to try and bring it down a bit, you know. But I do think they're overcompensating because they're trying to cover up for past mistakes and how slow they were before, and they're trying to cover up that. But let's be honest, we only need to protect the vulnerable, and that's going to affect. And I think the rest
of... Also, there's a very small section of society who can do this. Like, if you're, like, sort of middle earner, like, low-income earner, you the choice is out of your hands. You have to go to work.
Yeah.
And people are just... They're not going to be able... Like, we did it the first time. We played the rules. They've shown us that they... the rules weren't just weren't for everyone. So people aren't... They're not going to play along. I just can't see how... I just don't see the point.
No.
Sorry. That was a rambling.
Yeah, no, sorry. By the way, going back to Salt Lake Potash, we did have bets on when it will hit 40 pence. It's now 25 pence, of course. December, I said. Paddy, I think you said November, didn't you? The month before, did you? I think I asked you separately.
No, October.
October, right? Pete said January, Steve said March. All right. By the way, talk about Cahill. He's a clever fella. Do you know what I did? Fair play. I mean, Open Orphan's done very well, the share price. And I, like I said, he's playing the blinder here. And I liked him a lot. When I first started chatting to him, as you know, I did a blog on it, did a video on it. I said, listen, I think this is going to do very well. And when I initially invested in Orphan, I kept saying, he's done this before. He's done, you know, a couple of listings before, and now he's adjusted it to realise where he wants to be. So he's learned from the two previous listings. This will be his biggest project, I think. He's put the most amount of money into it. And I said, the fact that he managed to raise money, right, double the value of the actual company. So the company at the time was like 3 million, but he got like 6 million worth of fundraising at double the share price, a premium. I said, the fact that he did that says a lot. Not many people can do that. So he's a very good salesman, and he's pitched it to people. Institutions have come on board at that level. Institutions never invested in, you know, tiny companies. And then I changed my mind on Open Orphan because I felt the story changed a bit, because he stopped mentioning the genetic database business, you know, which I saw as a blue sky opportunity. But he pivoted from that into another blue sky opportunity, which is the COVID thing, you know, and he's done really well. And the lesson here is, like, if you trust the guy and he's good and he's convincing, you know, you've got to stick with it. If they've done it before, they've got a track record. Kyle is very sharp, a lot of his own money in the game, and he inspires me. I listen to him, you know, do you know what? He's got me on board. But I changed my mind. I shouldn't. And another one like that is Jerry Brandon, actually. Another little sort of, you know, I said, wily sort of Irish guy who can promote and pivot very well. Jerry Brandon from Integument. I held that early on. Again, sold that. That's more than doubled. A lot of the time, it's patience. You get the right vehicle. It's not finding it. It's just having the patience. It's doing nothing. Sitting there doing nothing. Having the right company and holding on. And mark my words, even though Open Orphan now is valued at, what, 100 million market cap? He will keep delivering, Kyle, because he loves it and he's good at it. And Jerry will. So sometimes you've got to have confidence. That is, do you know what? I hate to be another... this guy who kept saying I'm ramping Escape Hunt. But I go back to that. When I talked to the CFO of Escape Hunt, I was really impressed by him, honestly. If you listen to the podcast,
You quite like Escape Hunt, Justin.
No, but I like what they're doing. They're a very professional outfit. They're going somewhere. They're doing lots of stuff. And the CFO had it down. He came on the podcast and talked for, you know, most podcasts, people come on the podcast less than 10 minutes. He was on there for 15 minutes, but it was all fact and figure pretty much. And he had it. He said, we know the business model works now. And so I liked him. He was all over the place, you know. He was all over it. I mean, not all over the place.
He was all over the place.
Yeah.
Love it.
See, just change one word there. It doesn't work. He was all over it, all over the place. Two words.
He's a right mess.
Have you downloaded the app, though, Pad?
He's locked in a room.
Yeah, one more thing. Have you downloaded the app? Steve, Pad, have you got the NHS app?
Yes, I have.
Because you can't get into pubs without it. I was reticent. But,
really?
Yeah.
That's how they're doing it, is it?
They make you scan in on the way in. Yeah.
To be fair, it's a lot easier. I haven't actually used it getting into a pub, but obviously, because before it's putting all your details, whereas you obviously just scan the barcode and in you go, isn't it? So it is a lot more convenient.
I didn't realise that. I haven't been in a pub, obviously, since we've done that. So you got.
It was the same, like in London, in Pret, they had it, and it was chaos on Thursday. But everywhere you go into, you have to scan in on that now.
Do you know what I thought, though? I thought exactly the same as you, Pat. I thought that the reticence of people not to download this thing. I thought, do you know what? The government has shot themselves in the foot here, because they're the ones who've now, you know, bred mistrust because of Dominic Cummings and all that. So sacked him straight away, said, you've broken the rules, the same rules for everyone, you're sacked. I don't care about, you know, getting your eyes tested up north nonsense, you're sacked. And the fact is, people now, and I said the success of this app, right, is directly related to the trust in the majority of the UK. But now they're doing this regulation, you need to go in pubs, that's going to help a lot. Because I thought, this government has completely lost trust of the people. And even the fact that this app is not the one that they wanted to release. They wanted to release one where they had the data. Dominic Cummings had the data and his mate had the data. This is not that one. This is the Google-Apple one, where the data is decentralised and it changes. Your key changes like every 24 hours. So you can't, it's anonymised data anyway. And the fact that it is that version, it's not the government's version, I think it doesn't matter. And I thought, whatever you do, don't put Matt Hancock promoting it or Boris Johnson promoting it. Just use independent people, you know, somehow. Because if you put Matt Hancock's face to it, people will not download it, you know, or Boris Johnson's.
Well, he has been promoting it, though. He's been doing, like, radio interviews. the day it was released, he was on Virgin, like, promoting it. So, yeah, that is happening.
I know, and I thought, do you know what? People will not want to download it. His face is all over it. It's like, if it's anything to do with you, fella, I want nothing to do with it, you know? You might as well get Dominic Cummings up there selling it. Do you know what? I was watching GMB, and people were complaining on the first day, saying, I tried to use it. It's saying something to do with iOS is the wrong one. And I thought, how stupid are people? And they got, you know, smartphones, well, dumb users.
I can say the first time I tried to use it, it didn't work either.
But me, it downloads straight away. But all you have to do is, you've got a smartphone, you have to update your app. I mean, it's to me, though, right? You
know, no,
you
apparently, it does only work on the last couple of iPhones. If you've got an iPhone from, I can't remember which model it is, but it's not that old, it won't work on it.
But, hang on. No, iOS, do you know iOS 13 in here?
14, but some older iPhones have stopped. You can't update to 14, so they're the ones that you can't download on. So,
but I was surprised at people. How many people had never updated their iOS? They were on the TV saying, "What does that mean? Update iOS? What does that mean?" How do? Because you realise how stupid a lot of people are. Do you know? Is that that's not that technical, is it? Updating your iOS, is that? I don't know. Is that technical or what?
I think using the word iOS is probably technical. Just updating your phone is probably quite a straightforward thing, because it tells you your phone needs updating. You hit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was a big, was that red dot there, number one, saying update, and that annoys me. I never have anything like that, but, you know, I can't do that. I can't leave an app with a number one on it. Can you? I have to do it, do something to it.
Oh, yeah, loads. I've got like 30,000 emails.
Make us the same. I literally, she had about 3,000 a day. Two months. I had to get rid of them all. And I look on her phone again. She's got 267 again. I said, get rid of that number. What is wrong with you? I don't see it. Doesn't that bug you, that red number there?
No.
It would bug me. I'm getting 265 emails in a couple of days.
I know. She's in every bargain email. It's all trash. It's all trash. No? Anyway, anything else, Bob's worth mentioning? By the way, I do want to mention one more company, and we've discussed it, off the air, but I don't think it's right as yet, but I think it's could be big. I mean, you know, I'm trying to try and pick stocks that have a big upside, of course. What's the point of investing in those? But I think it could be very big, and I want to reveal it soonish, but I think the chart has to come back a little bit first, because it's gone up a little bit. By the way, have you watched that Dennis Nielsen documentary on ITV?
No, Dennis, I don't watch ITV.
No, I don't either, but we just downloaded catch up. Have you watched it, Steve?
No.
It's what's the old Doctor Who guy, the Scottish guy, what's his name? David Tennant's playing Dez. Dennis Nielsen was a serial killer, right, in North London. You know Dan, I used to work with Dan, you know, on Red Dragon or something.
Oh, Dan and I.
Yeah, Dan. Dan.
He was talented, that guy.
Dan's parents lived next to Dennis Nielsen. And anyway, yeah. So not only that, Dennis Nielsen offered the stepfather if he wants to come to a party. His father said, no thanks. But I read a book on Dennis Nielsen, right? Because it was so fascinating. And it's true, and it's in the documentary. The police picked him up, they discovered the drains were blocked, right? So they brought this drain guy in. The drain guy said, what are these bones? There's bones, actually, in the drains. And so they're all stinking, smelling. And it turns out it was a human bone. So the cops went there, and there's quite a few human bones in there. So they arrested him. They said, Dennis, let me get this clear. How many bodies are in that drain? Is it one or two? And he went, 15? And he literally...
I don't know anything about Dennis Nielsen.
North London in the 80s, right? And literally, watch it. He's just so matter-of-fact.
Yeah, someone else recommended it to me, actually.
Yeah, but he was basically so matter-of-fact. He said, oh, thank God. So he was just chatting away. He said, oh, I did that one. I strangled that one. I did three there. One's in the garden, one's there. And he just talked matter-of-fact about it. He said, to be honest, I'm glad it's off my chest, to be honest. Let's get another fag, please. And he's just smoking away, just talking like you're just talking about, a shopping list or something. It's nuts, but it's worth watching. But Dan, like I said, Dan, he invited Dan's stepdad into a party, and he said, no thanks. He says it wasn't the kind of party that normal people go to. But he's basically a befriend, mainly homeless guys who used to go to Soho, or pick up, you know, gay guys and take them back and strangle them. And then he used to keep them with him in his apartment sometimes, sit them on the sofa next to him, naked, cover them in talcum powder, and he used to chat to them and stuff. But,
wow.
It's worth watching. It's worth catching up.
It sounds great.
It sounds
like an incredible TV show.
No, because it's hilarious, because he's telling everyone else they're mad. And, you know, he said, I've done a lot. I've worked for the, you know, job centre. He was ex-cop as well. So, but yeah, he's completely messed up. It's worth watching. It's called Dez. Anyway, that's my recommendation there. And have a nice weekend, boys, all right?
Thanks.
Have a good one. Bye.
I like the way Steve signed off there. Have a good one. Bye.
That's almost a little...
Steve's gone.
Little catchphrase, isn't it?
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.